Gowling's and the Bank of Nova Scotia are two of our three sponsors this morning. Thank you very much for your support. And speaking on their behalf, to introduce Chris, is Russ Andrew, Area Vice President, Ontario Region, Commercial Banking for Scotiabank. Russ?
I'm delighted today to be able to introduce you to the speaker, our guest speaker. He's the city manager of the great city for the past 7 years, and under his leadership, the city has launched ahead with a number of building initiatives, including the Pan Am Games, which was epic, renewed focus on the downtown waterfront, a mobility strategy, a review of the city's workforce culture, and most recently, the Immigrant Entrepreneurs Program. Chris is a registered professional planner with over 27 years of experience implementing and leading major infrastructure products, including the LRT and the GO initiative here in the city. The downtown McMaster University and the City of Hamilton Health Campus, and the Red Hill Valley Parkway. Chris has led various regional transportation initiatives, having been a driving force in the creation of the Golden Horseshoe Transportation Alliance. Without further ado, please join me in welcoming Mr. Chris Murray.
Transformation. We talk a lot about the tipping point that is occurring in this community, but transformation by definition, a thorough or dramatic change in form or appearance. And what I want to spend the next few minutes talking about is what's happening outside of City Hall. So some of the growth that's occurring in this community, growth that we haven't seen in quite some time, and what's happening inside City Hall. So those are my two main themes. And with that, transformation outside of City Hall. Typically when I give my presentation, I talk about building permit activity, and 2016 is no different than all the other years that I've been up here speaking. We're going to tip the billion-dollar mark again, and I was at an event on Saturday where Tim Potocek made the comment about, and I agree with Tim's comment about, it's great that we hit these financial goals and exceed them, but the speed at which we process development is obviously a key consideration to many people in this room. I'm going to talk about that as well. I also talk about the fact that we're an organization that spends about $2 billion a year. About $750 million of that is on staff, and the rest is on things that keep us alive, such as our water system and certainly projects that we're responsible for. I also talk about taxes, and we have over the last several years maintained a relatively low tax increase here in Hamilton, and last year our tax increase was 1.7%, which was second lowest in the province. And council, as they always do, they give us targets to try and keep taxes low for you, and we know how important that is, and this year is no different. Our target, and that's including a 0.5 increase in capital spending, our target this year is 1.8, and obviously that will be a challenge as other years. But this year, though, I want to focus on something else that I think is really important, and I have a number of senior staff here, which, of course, everything that I'm talking about, I give credit to not just them, but our entire organization for some of the successes that we have. But I want to focus on this slide, if you don't mind. I know there's a lot of color and a lot of numbers, but I think you should have a look at it. What this is it's an accounting of the change in property value that's been occurring ward by ward across the city from 2008 to 2016. And you can see at the very bottom the average. So in 2008, the average across the city was 5.6, in 2012, 3.1, and 2016, 6.9. And what's in red is those wards where the change in property value was above the average, yellow is average, and green is below the average. And the reason why I think this is important, and in fact, Councillor Ferguson, I think, pointed this out the other day at committee, the time of amalgamation, which is, that four-letter word that none of us want to ever utter, but amalgamation, one of the concerns that people had was about the cities coming together into one, and how the revenues from those municipalities would be there to offset the expenditures that the old city was making. And so what you see happening here, I think, is an important consideration, and that is the tax burden is shifting, and certainly it's more pronounced in wards 1, 2, and 3. Wards 4 and 7 are at approximately the average. Ward 8 is the average, and everything else that you see here is, in fact, below the average. So what's happening is that a lot of people that are moving into Hamilton are starting to look at areas certainly below the escarpment. The housing stock there is of a good quality, and people are buying up those homes, and the prices are rising quite rapidly. So there is, in fact, a tax shift that's occurring. So that's kind of the here and now. But I want to talk about growth. First of all, if you look at the chart from 2016, which right now our population is approximately 525,000, you can see how it's expected to grow to 2041. And so in 2031, you can see we're going to be 660,000, and 2041, 780,000. Now, the important thing to consider is that these are not numbers that the city is responsible for. We don't, in our offices, come up with these figures and then allocate land use and infrastructure to make them happen. These are, in fact, figures that come from Queen's Park. Growth Secretariat allocates growth across the province of Ontario, and this is what Hamilton is striving to achieve. Now, you can see in 2031 and in 2041, at the bottom of that chart is a 40% figure and a 60% figure. The second point I want to make is that the province sets the urban intensification targets. In other words, what they're saying, and for a very good reason, and it's, you know, following the principles of sustainable development, they are saying to us that, you know, with our growth figures, that we are to accommodate as much of that growth. In the case of 2031, 40% is to occur within the urban area. And then even more aggressively in 2041, 60% within the urban area. So the impression that hopefully you're getting by now is that, you know, yes, we're going to grow. And the good news, and I've been in Cleveland recently, in Buffalo recently, in Detroit as well, municipalities where the population decline has been pronounced over a long period of time. Hamilton is very fortunate to be part of a very large economic region, one that is growing. And so we have the good fortune of being able to consider what does it mean to grow and how best to grow. And that's actually something that we turned our mind to actually a number of years ago in 2003. And in fact, Steve Robichaud is in the room here. Steve led an exercise for the city of Hamilton looking at different ways in which we could accommodate growth. And so that resulted in the following. And that's Hamilton's growth strategy, which was approved by council in 2006. And so basically what you see on that map is the areas in purple are our employment areas. The areas in yellow are our neighborhoods, are largely residential. The areas in green are your open space. But the point that I think we need to draw our attention to are two things that are really important, and that is the nodes and corridors that are on that map as well. And the nodes are areas where we're going to intensify growth, and the corridors are the areas where we're going to connect those growth areas from one to another. So again, from a planner's perspective, I mean, it's important that that we think about how we want to grow, recognizing that if we were just to continue to sprawl, you're going to pay a price for sprawling, not just in the construction of the infrastructure to support sprawl, but also the operations and maintenance of it. So we came up with a strategy in 2006, which has guided a lot of the major planning documents that we rely on. And this strategy is what we call a nodes and corridor strategy, and that will become even more important in a few minutes as this presentation unfolds. So I want to highlight, though, based on that kind of thinking, the fact that we weren't going to accommodate growth by just simply allowing it to sprawl, but that we're going to intensify it in very specific areas. There are a number of major plans that were developed that have led us to where we are today. And so certainly our transportation master plan in 2007, something called BLAST, which we're going to get to in a second here, our urban official plan, which takes us up to the 2031 population growth, which I mentioned earlier, our transit project assessment process for the B line, which is, that's really a document that was given to the provincial government that supported why today we are in fact so focused on LRT in our lower city. It was the document that explained the importance of making sure that we had a solid transit spine in our lower city to help guide growth and to move people. Rapid Ready Report, which basically looks at all the reasons why transit is so important to this community, not just transit, but the notion of complete streets, so including cycling, walking, all of this. These are your building blocks for how it is that you're going to grow this city. And these are all documents that the council has received and, in fact, has improved. And then you have the Hamilton 10-year transit strategy of 2015. All the while that's happening, Metrolinx has undertaken two major reports during this period. That's the growth plan for the Greater Golden Horseshoe, as well as the big move, the regional transportation plan. So what am I saying? At the end of the day, there's no question we're fortunate Hamilton is going to grow. And the way in which we're going to grow is following some what we would describe as good planning principles, meaning simply that we're going to try and take advantage of the infrastructure we already have and intensify in very select areas around our city. And that's exactly what we've been doing, and council should be given credit for that kind of leadership and that vision to get us to a point where we are today, where we're able to talk about how it is that we're going to execute one of the biggest capital projects that we've seen in our history. And so with that, the basic point I want to make again is that we're accommodating urban growth really through intensification and transit, which I know for some, and myself included, we've grown up in this city used to the fact that we get everywhere by automobile. And there's little doubt that as we continue to grow, certainly as we continue to intensify growth within the urban area, that we're going to see more and more cars on the road. And it's not a question of if congestion is going to occur. I mean, we're already seeing some elements of it right now, but as we continue to grow, more and more congestion is going to unfold. That's not a if, that's more of a when it's going to unfold. And so the key issue here, I think, is making sure that the transit system that council has been envisioning is in fact going to be built in a timely manner. And so with that, the BLAST network, again, this was approved back in 2008, and the BLAST network is those lines that you see in various colors, in green, red, blue, dark blue, and then gold. Those are the major arterials, if you will, or spines that we have across the city that are going to connect the nodes where we're going to intensify. So certainly in our downtown, and certainly in Waterdown, and certainly up towards our airport, and out in Stony Creek and El Fry, all these major areas that we have within the city, we need to make sure that we have, transit corridors that move people quite efficiently. And so that's really what the BLAST network is all about. And we have the good fortune right now to be focused on the B line, a good portion of that, as well as a small portion of the A. And that's what, in fact, we are privileged to have an opportunity to invest as much money as we are to put in place a major component of our transit system now. And, think of it this way. I think everyone in this room who's obviously interested in the quality of life of Hamilton and business success in Hamilton, the prospects of growing to 780,000 people in 25 years, and for some 25 years may seem like a long time, in the world of a planner, 25 years is tomorrow. 25 years is nothing at all at the end of the day. Start thinking 50 and 100 years, and then that's a long-range plan. But really, 25 years is not very long. And so it's so important that before we start to see the kinds of congestion that's occurring in Toronto, that's occurring in Mississauga, that we're able actually to get ahead of it and able to put in place a very important spine and a critical component of that entire network. And so with that, we have just a short video.
Many of us agree Hamilton's future relies on transit.
A great transit system is an enabler of a clean and healthy environment, a prosperous economy. As the CEO of the city's largest employer, I'm a big supporter of it.
Hamilton has a very vibrant post-secondary education sector. About 40% of our students are frequent users of public transit in Hamilton.
It takes many years to build a very progressive transportation corridor, and we have to start. We have to move along that path for the future.
Strong transit will become even more important as Hamilton rapidly grows in the years ahead. By 2041, 780,000 people will call Hamilton home. That means more jobs and more opportunity. It means a more robust economy, and it means more arts and entertainment venues. As a city, we have to be able to handle the needs of this larger population.
We're a growing community, which we're lucky to be. The question, though, is how are we going to accommodate all these people, given that a lot of this growth is going to have to occur in existing urban areas? And so the answer that we've been working on for the last 10 years certainly involves a lot of transit.
Through a series of plans approved over the past 10 years, we've developed a strategy to connect growing parts of our city together with rapid and reliable transit. It's called the BLAST Network, and it will connect the east and west ends of the city, downtown and the watered-down commercial district, the waterfront to the airport, Ancaster Meadowlands to the center on Barton, the Ancaster Business Park to growing areas in Alfreda, and Upper Stony Creek down to Eastgate Square. These five routes will provide the economic stimulus and infrastructure Hamilton needs for its bright future, connect residents with key destinations across Hamilton, be great for the environment in reducing emissions, and promote healthier lifestyles. But it all begins with the B Line and the A Line Spur. These light rail trains will connect East Hamilton to downtown through to McMaster University, as well as Hamilton's West Harbor to the new West Harbor GO station. They'll provide smooth, quiet, swift transportation that integrates with our bike sharing program. Getting the resources to build the BLAST network is a critical piece of the puzzle. Fortunately, the construction of the first two routes is being covered by the provincial government. With this funding, Hamilton can start building the transit network our vibrant city is going to need. And these routes are just the beginning. Our full plan includes LRT, buses, bikes, and connections to GO trains ranging far across the city. This will be the backbone of Hamilton's future.
All vibrant cities have dynamic transit programs. We need to continue to invest in transit. The BLAST network is a great plan.
Hamilton is on the cusp of a renaissance. You know, there's so many signs of important new growth and prosperity here in the city.
Start thinking about what positives can come out of this wonderful opportunity that we've been given to build a community that we're proud of for the future.
So we are on a very aggressive timeline. A project of this kind is certainly significant for all the reasons I just pointed out, but very quickly, if you go across from left to right in this timeline, and it's fantastic that we have Minister McMeekin here, because he was there the day that the Premier appeared at McMaster campus to talk about the $1.2 billion investment the province is prepared to make here in Hamilton. Point two of that, of course, to deal with expanded GO service and the million to pay for the two segments of LRT that we've been talking about. We, of course, went and in August of 2015 to council to start to describe in particular terms how it is that we are going to implement this project, speaking about a project office and all the details that are necessary in order to be an effective partner with the province and making sure that this project is delivered. I'm not going to go through every single step, but you can see that there's a number of planning steps and communication events that are going to take place, leading us to, I think, what is really key here, and that is the 2017-2018 period, where the contract is put out to the market to build this facility, and then in 2018 to see this project underway. That is a very aggressive time schedule. There's a lot of resources that are funded by the province that are working on behalf of the city. Paul Johnson is here leading the charge on behalf of the city of Hamilton, along with some very dedicated staff. But, to say that it's a complicated, difficult project is a bit of an understatement, but nonetheless all worthwhile.